This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Man, they make fun of my attire, so now Brandon gonna try to dress me up like I'm some goddamn 3-year-old. So we're gonna see what he got for me.
So we're gonna do a little makeover real quick, okay? So we'll be right back.
I don't look good.
Damn! It's Gucci, bro. Like, you know how we say
this
Gucci.
Real, real Gucci. Ooh. We gotta go on a day show. Probably done came up. Crowder than came up.
All right, let's see what else we got. We got to get your bottoms right now.
They're messing with the shirt. Ooh, I'll make me a baby tonight. I'll make me another.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah. Wrongfully accused, we had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam, you got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
I think LeBron galvanized that team, he's a great leader. And I think that was the problem with that, with the Clippers. You know, they didn't even want to be a part of the restart. They didn't want to come to the bubble. Mm-hmm. And when you see LeBron, everybody outside of Dwight Howard, of course.
Goofy ass.
But everybody is on the same
goofy.
Everybody's on the same page. It's hard, it's one of his hardest because he's in a bubble. He's not with his family. None of these players are with their family. I can't imagine being away from my family for 3 months. So it's hard in that aspect from a personal standpoint. But from a professional standpoint, it got to be the easiest, you know, this restart.
You haven't seen the news on the bubble. They hanging. The bubble is a breeze right now,
bro. But bro, it got to be the easiest for LeBron. You know, you know, before COVID hit and the NBA shut down, the Clippers was actually taking off. They were coming together. And that was going to be their biggest problem. Clippers didn't come back with the right mentality. Montrezl Harrell came back out of shape. Lou Williams at the strip club eating lemon pepper wings.
I'm with Lou.
So you're saying
I stayed with Lou.
So
have you had Magic City wings?
You're putting an asterisk on the championship.
No, but I'm not putting an asterisk on it. No, I think it's, you know, LeBron, he found a way to get an edge. Like, that's what in the NFL, guys are doing the same thing. Like, this is an opportunity.
You sent me some House of Athlete supplements, though?
No, I ain't do that. I ain't do that.
If he gets the 6, I will put him with MJ.
That's what.
So what he got to do to be better than MJ?
That's tough.
Yeah, B, he need to go. He need to be reborn again and get a new mom and dad. Bro, MJ is that dude. I'm telling you. This old school talk, but MJ was just that dude. That was that guy. And to the point about the asterisk, I like Fred bringing it up. I believe that this year's championship is harder then 19 and 21 and 18 and 17 and 16. Bro, you hit it on the head. I got to leave my family for 3+ months and perform and go out here and go against the best in the world when my entire life was blown up. People are talking about asterisk with this season. I would say this year's champion is a better measuring stick.
I disagree.
Than any other year.
This is why I disagree. You're at the stadium 7 in the morning. You're home 5:00.
Yeah.
Right? When you got home, you had to make sure you probably decompressed for an hour. Your time.
Yeah.
And then your boys, your kids, or whatever it might have been while you were playing, they attack you, they jump on you. You got to make sure you're up. You got to muster up that second wind and take care of the house. Right? In the bubble, they ain't got to do that. Fan friends, you know, hold on, let me finish.
Fred, how hard is that, bro? You just said fans and family. Hang out with your kids, have sex with your wife, and talk to some people that like you. But that's not hard.
We're talking about being in the bubble, though.
It's not to have to tend to the hens. I call it tending to the hens.
When I was a rookie in the NFL, you had to pay for porn site.
Had to pay for them.
Pornhub.com, free. They, whatever they doing, that's what they doing. They handling business in the bubble. Whatever they got to do, they going
to
do
it. To. My man, what was that? Houston Rockets, man.
Yeah.
He found him a little tester girl that wanted some action. He done brought her to the room and got kicked out.
That's the sport.
Your point about the bubble is my opposite point, is that you don't have to do all that. You don't have to. So it's easier to win in the bubble. It's easier to win in the bubble.
Didn't he just say it was going to be the hardest championship? Right,
ooh.
Trust me. What we got?
For you, I have Escovitch fish.
Ooh. And I'm going to eat it.
For you, I just have sides. For the rest of the guys, I have oxtail, rice and peas.
Oh,
rice
chef, and peas. You ain't made the oxtail, chef. Oh, chef. Oh, my goodness. Crazy. Chad, the oxtails are stupid.
I got the tag this time.
All right, chef, so what we got going on here?
Caribbean today. So you have escovitch snapper with rice and peas and cabbage. And
it's been 2 years, fellas. I ain't ate no meat in 2 years.
Get you some meat in you.
Fred doesn't eat fish or beef, so he just has a side. And these two gentlemen have oxtail, rice and peas and cabbage and fried plantain.
Why y'all decide on the diet y'all decided on?
I just don't eat beef and fish will kill me.
Oh, so you're allergic to fish?
I can eat shellfish. I'm backwards.
But you decided not to eat beef.
Right.
Bro, that cow ain't do nothing to you,
Chef,
man.
Chef,
this is so good.
We talked a little bit offline about the NBA players, the restart, the bubble. Like, I don't know if you know, but these guys have been in the bubble for 3 months. And it took, like, 2 months before, like, their wives, their girlfriends can come in.
Yes.
You think that's hard on the man and the woman?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I mean, well, then again, most of the season, the guys are on the road anyway, right?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
But, Chef, they still getting sex on the road.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Oh, my goodness. Delete, delete, delete.
Yeah, y'all ain't live like I live, man. You still, you're talking about they on the road, they ain't with their wife. They still getting sex if they on the road. Y'all ain't got no game, Fred. If you ain't getting no sex on the road, you ain't got no game.
I'm drinking. I ain't got nothing to do with that conversation.
It's women sitting outside the hotel. All you got to do is go upstairs and come back down.
Oh, Fred, that happened for
you? I went on the mind of dog.
Yeah,
I played for the Jaguars, man. We was sorry. Ain't nobody waiting for us.
Y'all was sorry like that. The Dolphins was terrible. But I could always sneak downstairs by that bar and find me somebody smiling.
You?
Real?
I'm cutting this.
Me? You said you?
No, don't cut it.
I ain't know of it like that.
No. Me and my wife ain't beefing. I'll retire, so we good to go. Hey, when you walked in the hotel, all you saw were fans. Y'all were lying. Think about this, fella. Listen, play this shit. When y'all walked in the visiting team hotel, y'all saw the fans lined up behind the little ropes, right?
Yeah.
And behind them were another row of people. Y'all ain't never looked behind that second row. To them girls sitting back there with them skirts on.
I never really
That
looked.
Was smiling.
Yeah, but what you gonna do? Man, we got security guards on every floor.
Sprint upstairs to get my bag in the room and sprint straight downstairs. Every away game I ever played in, I would find a strip club in the area and we go to the strip club. When we went to Buffalo, we go over to Toronto because Buffalo got garbage strip clubs. We go to Toronto and it's a strip club in Toronto. They got red lights around the top and got a massage parlor and a wing spot. So think about that. Strip club, massage parlor, wing stop, all in the same little cortex. That's why we never beat Buffalo Bills because we were partying. You ain't come.
No, I ain't come.
I know you was in the room square drinking water and shit. Big come drink.
I'm trying to win the game. Y'all wonder why I went crazy in Miami.
Hey, defense was sound.
Defense, y'all was good.
Defense was sound.
Y'all was.
Yeah. Really, y'all ain't never party on the way trips?
Wow. No, bro. No, ain't about no party.
So y'all got to the hotel and went to y'all room and sat down.
I was on the game.
I went to eat. Not
man, we.
My
I
thing down. Is when we land, we would, you know, early in my career when I ate bad, we would go eat. Me and Elvis Dumanville go eat soul food. That was our thing. Whatever city we went to, we tried to find, you know, the best soul food restaurant. But after that, bro, I was getting massages. I was seeing a chiropractor.
How did you find the best soul food restaurant?
Elvis found them. That was his job.
He would find it online.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can also find the best strip club online. And then you slide there and you find somebody because you got that little four-hour window. That four-hour window, man, we used to get loose. Y'all were missing out.
Now you know why the Dolphins was terrible.
They ain't worried about me.
All right, look, so you no, said, I think this is an important topic because every time I, you know, read our comments and, you know, I don't know if y'all know, but we had like 3,000 people in our chat when we aired our last episode. Y'all need to subscribe. That's what they need to do.
Subscribe.
So people need to subscribe.
Subscribe. I know you see this.
Yeah.
You know, but, I don't play that.
The way people were engaging with us was as if we had 1 million, 2 million subscribers. And one of the things that stood out, you know, they like, man, Fred T, I love his knowledge. I come here and I learn, like, OGs, OGs. You know, we got a lot of athletes watching. We got a lot of people watching. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we all have, and I feel like it's universal, is money. That's a big challenge, Channing. You know, when we make it, it's almost like everybody make it. And when I watch draft night and I'm on ESPN and you see a guy gets the phone call, hello, hello, yeah, this is Coach Shanahan from the Denver Broncos. We're going to select you with the next pick. And then all of a sudden it happens. Boom. And what do you see? Not just him crying.
Everybody.
Everybody. Why are they crying? So for me, man, like I know one of the biggest challenges for me and something I struggled navigating through throughout the whole 13 years was how to help friends and family.
It was tough on me because I was extremely family-oriented. Like I think a lot of us are. We're very family-oriented. Everybody behind you, they come to your high school games. They fly into your college games. They, you know what I'm saying? They're there with you. But, bro, as soon as you touch the NFL, and this is a thing that people think about, but they don't really think about. Everybody thinks as soon as you touch the league, you're a millionaire.
Yeah.
As soon as you get drafted, even 7-6 round, you're a millionaire. And it's not like that. But when I had nobody living in Miami. I didn't know I was going to get drafted to the Dolphins. I was in Atlanta. My sister was in Atlanta. I get drafted to the Dolphins. As soon as I get drafted, my mom moves to Miami. My sister moved to Miami. My brother-in-law, my niece, and my nephew, because now, like B, you said, we made it. We made it. And that was a tough thing for me was to look at, like, I don't just need to take care of myself. I just didn't make it. I have to think about everybody. I have to try to set everybody up. And we were talking about it off air where you were like, you wanted everybody to have a business. You wanted everybody to try to kind of feed off you. And I think that's the flaw. As an older man now, I didn't know this as a 20-year-old rookie, but as an older man now, you can't save everyone. If you give all your money out, then you're going to be broke and you can't help anybody now when we've all been retired for years.
Okay, so you came in the league with that mentality. When did it shift? And when it did shift for you, was there any relationships broken?
A lot of relationships broken. A lot. Because one thing I did was I would always tell people, if you're paying rent, I will front the 20% mortgage. But a lot of people don't know this. Like, you can front 20% mortgage and get a hell of a rate. If you can put 20% on the table up front on the whatever house or apartment or condo you have, you can get a hell of a rate. You can get, right now you can get under 4%, but you can get 4 to 5%, where I would say, so you're paying this person $1,500 a month. I'll pay 20% down, find a place that you can get where you're paying me $1,300 a month. And I own the place, and you can live there, and instead of paying them, pay me. It sounds good until they get resentment towards you for being their landlord. And that's the smart way to do it, but to be able to tell your cousin or your sister or your brother or your mom, I'm your landlord, and whatever way you put it, that's an uncomfortable conversation. So I think the uncomfortable, I think for people that new money is what you're talking about, people with new money.
Yeah.
You have to have uncomfortable conversations with your siblings, with your loved ones, because if we all are happy, we all are broke. And that's how I really feel about this whole conversation about one person having this and everybody else trying to get. If we're all happy, we're all broke. Somebody has to set a standard.
When I first got in the league, somebody said, hey, Rook, you're going to have to learn how to tell your people no. And that was the hardest thing for me, you know, saying no to people who helped me out on every aspect of getting to where I got was telling them no. Whether it was my brother, sister, my mom, I ain't telling my mom no. My grandmother, you know, who raised me, I'm not telling her no for sure. You know, whatever she wants, she could get. That's baby. That and then trust. Knowing, figuring out who to trust. You know, people come, they befriend you, and they tell you these are the things you need to do with your money. You know, being comfortable with a financial advisor. They have their philosophies, and they're doing it with your money. So when you don't come from money, and when you're talking about financial awareness or the lack of, that's the biggest challenge for young guys who acquire and come into money. Nowadays, these dudes getting $100 million contracts. They can make mistakes because inflation hasn't changed. I got drafted in 98, 22 years ago. but these guys have more of an opportunity to make more mistakes. I was fortunate to play 13 years. I got 4 contracts, but I made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
From listening to people, from not saying no when people was trying to tell me.
What was the biggest mistake you made?
Say no.
What was the biggest mistake you made?
The biggest mistake was not taking the time to learn these things. You know, your financial advisor would tell you, you go play ball. You play ball, we're going to handle everything. I didn't balance my X's and O's. I didn't really put anybody else in position to watch over them. But I got so comfortable with my people, I'm like, we buddy. They good. And I trusted them. And then it went south. So if you know my story, started with a black agent who ended up getting arrested, Ponzi schemes, that went south. I learned a little from that, but then I entrusted someone else who pretty much did the same thing. Started out conservative, but then he ended up putting us into some other deals that was a little bit more aggressive, but it was for the benefit of him. So I learned from that. Hindsight is 20/20. I feel like I take that message now. I make more money now from sharing that message with younger players and corporations and speaking engagements. So God put me in that position for a reason.
Yeah.
To share with my children. Now I'm better for it. I'm not saying that I'm the best money manager. I try to be. But at the same time, my message to the young guys is learn how to say no.
Yeah.
Everybody wasn't always there for you. You know, take care of your immediate family, your mom, your grandmother, and everybody else. Put them in the business proposition. If you're going to give them money, create an LLC. Make them do something. Now frame that business as an entity that's doing something for you. Now they can go and they can write those, you know, that money that they're receiving off. Yeah. So it's different ways to maneuver around the tax system that'll benefit you.
You sound like Trump.
No.
Let me ask you a question.
That boy records.
Because your circle's small.
Yeah, I ain't really had one. So, you know, grandma raised me. My grandma raised me. My mama was in L.A. And I got drafted. Obviously, my circle of friends was small. Being from Liberty City, those friends were dudes that were in the street. So what did they already have?
Money.
Yeah. Well, they was already eating. So I was already around money. Watch how they maneuver. Obviously, I didn't spend that kind of way. But my grandfather was extremely cheap for some reason. And so those values and me watching him over the years, for some reason, it was already in me. So once money came, you know, I'm always preaching about being cheap. With the jewelry and the watches, I know I talked to you before about never really buying anything real. Everything was always replica. Nothing was ever real.
Seriously, always.
Like, small example, people would always ask, even current athletes today, like, is it serious, some of the stuff that I've seen documented, is it true that you bought everything replica and it wasn't real? I say, yeah, there was no point because the women have already done their Googles.
Yeah,
so there's really no need and there's nobody to impress. I can get the same, like, Hard Knocks, where I got my earrings from. From Claire's.
Yeah, I remember that.
With a black card. And the whole message was, I'm still rich. I'm still me. I don't really need it. Who am I trying to impress?
Yeah.
Watches, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. What time is it real quick?
10 o'clock.
How much that cost?
Nothing.
Time is free. So why am I paying for it? What's the point? You already got money.
To impress people.
Rappers different. They have an image to uphold. But I don't because I'm old.
But they also get the fake diamonds. They also get the fake diamonds too.
But I'm Ocho. I got to a point in my career, money-wise, I was trying to think of something that I could buy that was bigger than my name alone. It wasn't nothing. But then you had to think, that mentality of fiscal responsibility was already in me before the money came, though.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a little easier. Then I didn't have a circle because my circle of friends come from or already had money because of what they did. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. But so this whole thing... on Instagram, I believe, you posted a text thread with you and your daughter. You gave her $100.
Oh, yeah.
You gave her $100. Yeah. And she took it and she saved it.
Yeah.
And then she hit you back up.
For 20.
Hey, I want to eat.
For $20, yeah.
So like, you really that cheap?
Yeah. It's always been that way. And I try to instill that in with just small stuff. I told her.
But that's intentional, though. That's
intentional.
Not just
I'm not playing around. I'm not playing around. I'm trying to get them to get that same mentality I had and not think like, oh, shoot, you know, my old boy, he got it. I can just keep asking for it. No, you know, this is a method that I use in college at the time with the whole syrup sandwich, the ramen noodles. And I still eat that way today. And people always ask, like, dude, what are you doing? You got money. Like, no, that's not how you operate. You don't move like that.
Yeah.
Money comes in phases. When you get a lump sum, my grandma always said, a fool and his money shall soon part ways.
Yep.
And it always happened. Think about the people you grew up with that had money. Do they have it now?
No. I mean, well, my people was in the street, so
Do they have money now?
No, they don't.
Fred, wherever you from, the people that had money in the streets or whatever they were doing, do they have money now?
Nope.
Shannon, people back in Atlanta, do they have money now? I'm 20 years in and I'm still straight. Still living the same lifestyle I lived once I got drafted. Still, if I wanna show off, if I wanna treat myself, I can do it. I can turn up, I can stunt. But it's really not me.
I gotta ask you though, now, like you saying, bro, now I can see it being easy because when all retire, we look and say, okay, we got 5 million.
Yeah, but it's
10
different.
10 million, 15, 20, whatever that next thing is.
I had the mentality already going in the league, though.
But
already going in.
What about when you were getting $300,000 checks every time you played the game?
It went in. I didn't spend my...
You didn't look at that, bro, because that was the thing got me, to your point,
I didn't even see it, though.
I ain't have no money. My people ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't grow up like that. But I remember my first check was $577,000.
Right.
And I looked at that check. Mm-hmm. That was the third round signing bonus back then. $577,000, mm-hmm. bruh. And like that hit me. When you got those $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, whatever those $600 million checks, you could still put that right in the bank. That was what I struggled with.
Everything was direct deposit anyway. But think about it. Remember the story? First 2 years in the NFL, I stayed at a stadium.
What stadium?
I stayed at Paul Brown Stadium.
What you mean?
My first 2 years in the NFL, I stayed at Paul Brown Stadium. I remember, I'll never forget, our coach was Dick LeBeau, and my mentality of not wanting to spend money in regards to what I got as a signing bonus, I ain't want to touch nothing.
Hold on, so where'd you stay? Where'd you sleep? What you mean?
What do you call it? The players' room. Leather couch, game room, water, food, cafeteria. There was no... No, don't laugh.
Bro, there ain't no way you stayed in the locker room, bro.
You.
Dog, are y'all tripping?
Did you ever bring somebody back to the...
I had nights.
You weren't worried
about it.
I was strictly football.
I mean, we played in Minnesota.
You got playing for the Dolphins.
One time we played in Minnesota. We got back like 1 a.m. We land. I called my wide receiver coach. I was like, yo, come to the facility. Let's watch film. And we watched film. And then I ended up staying at the facility. I had moments like that. But I never stayed.
No.
Days
no,
or year.
Days. I use it. You think that's bad? What about EJ? You know how smart EJ is with his money? Think about what he did his entire career. Didn't spend nothing. So my first 2 years in the league, Dick LeBeau was our head coach, and nobody ever bothered me because they understood what I was trying to do. It was my third year when Marvin came in, and Marvin forced me to have some type of responsibility and say, "This, you really can't do this. You can't live like this." And it wasn't until then where I actually had to start spending, paying rent, and stuff like that. My only overhead was child support. And I needed that structure, in a sense, because it wasn't bad. Those I had kids from understood. I liked that structure, and it was good for me. That was my only overhead my entire career.
That's crazy.
As far as family needing and wanting, if you weren't there before, you wouldn't get nothing just coming once I made it.
How many people have you met or talked to? And even us. You can kill us. That have ever thought the way you thought. Because, Chad, I ain't gonna lie. I've never.
Nah.
You talk about cheap.
I was cheap, but you talk about frugality, bro.
I'm gonna go throw me a thousand dollars at that diamond.
He cheap, bro.
Nah. I'm gonna throw me a thousand dollars at that diamond.
Hold up. What kind of car did I drive my entire career? A little smart car.
A little Focus
smart
or something.
Car.
Yeah. And I still got the same car. I
also saw the Phantom, though.
What am I
I like that Phantom.
TV money. Nothing had to do with football. Nothing. What am I driving right now, B?
A minivan.
That'd be nice, though.
To work out.
I mean, who's driving a minivan?
Yeah, I mean, money, that's a tricky situation. I feel like it's universal. For me, man, like, I always felt like it wasn't a blessing just for me to make. It was a blessing for my family, you know, because we're trying to break generational curses. And we're trying to break the cycle. And I felt like, okay, don't use me, but use me.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
I made it. We got the bag. Now bring me a business plan, something that makes sense, and I'm going to invest in that. And I couldn't understand, bro, for 13 years telling people around me. And what I did was, when we was in Miami, it took me 4 years to do that. I drew a circle, and I put names in here. Aunt Ronnie, this person, brother, sister, boom. I said, okay, if these people come to me, what they think, with everything together, I got them. I'll never say no. And bro, nobody around me right now, I can say, is good. Huh? And that's the biggest failure in my career.
They're not good. So the percentage that you invested in, none of them turned up?
I never invested. They never came to me with a business plan.
The same exact thing.
No, they never came to me with a business plan.
They just wanted a handout.
There's people like never ask me for things.
Right, right.
I'm begging them.
Do something. Right.
I'll find a consultant. Find a consultant. I'll pay for the consultant to teach you how to put together a business plan. But let me help you, because when this game is taken away from me and I'm married and I got kids, that's the first responsibility. And I said it to everybody, mom, dad, brother, sister, I can do it now. I'm making $10+ million a year. But when that ain't coming in like that and I got to make that decision, I'm letting you guys know right now I'm going this way. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I tell you this, B, because I went through that too. That is too much to ask of a normal person to say, we have $1 million on the plate. How can I help you turn $200,000 into something, $300,000 into something? I had that same approach. Hey, if you're paying rent, let's buy a house and you can pay mortgage. If you're working for somebody, let's find a way to buy a business that you can do the same thing, but we're making the money. If you're making salary, let's make the money. Let's make the nest egg. Let's build a nest egg. That's harder from our side. It's crazy to say. I tell y'all this. As soon as we got our first check, we became the patriarch of all our families. As soon as we got out, and I went third round. You went fourth round, right?
Yeah, fourth round.
You go. Where y'all go? You went first round. Look at Fred smiling. You know what I'm saying?
I want to chime in.
Even third round, like I just said, I told a story where my first check was a little bit over $500,000.
$385,000.
Nobody in our families, and I'll tell you this, I know for a fact, because nobody with the last name of Crowder that has my blood in their system ever saw a check for $500,000.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So now we're trying to structure, to your point, B, we're trying to structure a business plan with people that have never seen over six figures. So how can you expect them? And this is what I learned. How can you expect them to learn how to spend money when you're just learning how to spend money learning how to save money? Yeah. And that's why I think the athletes and people, the new money.
But you learned it, though.
You learned it, but, bro, I didn't learn. By the time you got to the Dolphins, I was like 4 years in, and I just started getting smart. And you'd be laughing when I got my $6 million.
Yeah, that boy used to sit down with me at the cafeteria. He'd be like, bro, I'm about to make $5 million next year. I'm going to hit my number. I'm going to go buy me 200 acres in Georgia, and I'm going to be good for life. This little money I got over here going to bring me in a couple hundred thousand. I'm going to live off of that for the rest of my life. I'm thinking, I'm doing the math, because I remember talking to Drake Bly was like, yo, I'm gonna put up 16, 20 million. That's going to bring me a million. And I'm thinking like, okay, why are you not going for the million? You going for 200,000, 300,000?
Bro, that's great. The conversation, because B, you just signed what, 40 with the Dolphins?
47
with the Dolphins. And I told B, and I just signed the year before, and I was like, bro, they're about to give me $6 million. I'm set for life.
Yeah.
And I remember B was like, what? But I was like, bro, they give me six, and it's after taxes now. I was like, six, bro, at 5%, it's going to make $300,000 a year. If you give me $300,000 a year January 1st the rest of my life, I'm set. And I'm showing up, and I'm going to the strip club with 300. And me used to be like, bro, what are you talking about? But that's the thing where you just have to.
Because I came from Denver, where Drake Bly, who was signing those big deals, he signed, like Fred, like you signed four deals. Drake Bly signed a couple. So I'm around those boys, listen to them, Champ Bailey, and them, their money's bringing in $1 million, $2 million a year. So that was the bar for me. You know what I mean? So I was like, how do I get 3-4 contracts where my money's bringing in $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a year? You know what I mean? So that's why I couldn't understand that he was literally sitting there comfortable like, yeah, I just need $300,000. I'm like, damn, man, that's how my mortgage right there. I just bought this $4.1 million home, but it cost me $275,000 to maintain this. I need more than $300,000.
Yeah, but two racks a month to goddamn show up. But one thing quickly, the intelligence of it, where I bought a house that was tow up and remodeled it. Y'all seen my house. Mm-hmm. And I remodeled it, and now I made $500,000 off the house with just what I did to it. Like, just because you have money, you ain't got to spend it. Still be strategic. Yeah. Like, hey, bro, you got $6 million, $5 million, whatever it is. Man, why are you mortgaging this and mortgaging that? Because I don't want to spend my money. I heard my whole life, spend other people's money.
Yeah.
So I spend other people's money.
This is, if I could go back and do it again, you know, I don't know if you want to put a cap on this money talk or whatever, but this is what I would say. The best investment that we can make as athletes, first generation millionaires, is to invest in a financial advisor that can teach our family money, right? Like, I wish I did that. I tried to get it done the last couple years, and it just didn't work out. But if I had, I would invest in one person to sit down with that circle. Okay, these people are my circle. They don't know nothing about money. Teach them the basics, the fundamentals. That's what I would have did.
I think I was fortunate for my financial advisor to be my grandma. Mm. That was my financial advisor. Very strict, very detailed, very structured in everything she did. I'm talking about everything. And just her continuously harping on me about it over the years is the only reason I'm like that. Because nobody that comes from where I'm from is about being fiscally responsible. It's about, I got it. And showing that you have it and stunting. You know, I'm from Miami. I'm from Liberty City. You already know how we operate and how we act. It's about looking like you are up to par. Even if you don't got it, it's about looking like you got it. And I was the complete opposite and one of the few that came out of my area that didn't care about image. I don't care. I was more concerned with knowing I got it instead of looking like I do. And the satisfaction for me is not being able to buy the Rolex or the big chain, but just knowing I can get it. Yes, my shit ain't real, but if I needed it and wanted to do it, being able to do it, that brings me joy. That's enough.
Comfort.
For a better word.
Yeah, comfort. Were you comfortable when you were a kid? Before you had it?
Yeah.
But were your family really comfortable?
Oh, yeah.
Because we weren't. Like, I remember my mom trying to pay bills and We eating cube steaks and corn. You know what I'm saying? When you was a kid, now.
Sugar like, bread.
Did y'all struggle? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, did you struggle?
When I was young, I didn't know what comfortable was at the point. You don't know the difference.
Yeah.
And what the difference is.
You don't really need to impress upon anything. We talked about it before. One of those episodes talking about the table next to us, they popping 5 bottles, we want to pop 6 or 10. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's a lot of what we fall into those traps, right? And I wanted to ask this question, you know, to everybody, actually. What would you tell a young player, young athlete? That's what it's about. We got to give back in some capacity. Even if we don't directly do it, we have to make sure that they hear the message. And that's what this platform is for. So I'll start with you, Channing. What message would you give in terms of new money so these guys can avoid some of the pitfalls, recognizing what they should look out for, you know, when they come into new money?
First off, get you an attorney and a financial advisor, like B said. My attorney right now, I have him on retainer. And Johnny Williams is his name. That's my attorney, young black dude. He's awesome. My mom, both my sisters, my brother-in-laws, even my friends can call Johnny, and Johnny will answer all their legal questions and also direct them to where they need to go, and I pay for all that. And I do it happily because of the fact that I would rather my homeboy, rather me pay him an extra $1,000 a month and let my homeboy know, don't do this, before my homeboy just goes off with no direction and spends up $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. But that would be the first thing, get a financial advisor and an attorney. But the thing is hard, and Chad, I think you're right there with me, stack. Bro, if you got $1 million invested, try to get to 2. If you got 2, try to get to 4. If you got 4, try to get to 6. And y'all know where I'm going. We'll keep adding 12, 24, 48. We can double it. After you retire from football, I look in the camera and say this. Young fellas, after you retire from football, your nest egg is all you have other than fame. And fame has no money attached to it. It's fame. Nest egg. The most money you can have sitting somewhere earning money. Not having to pay mortgage, like you said. Not having to pay child support. Not having to pay that. For you to really sit $4-5 million, $10, $50, $20 million somewhere that all it's doing is generating money at least 5%. Bro, that shit is beautiful.
I was just about to say. Beautiful thing when you look at them numbers and they be like, yeah, we just bought in 1.5, 1 mil, whatever.
I'm gonna go to Chad next, but what you're saying, what I want to say real quick is all the young guys, make sure you take out that 40% for Uncle Sam. If you're making $1 million, 400,000 gone. Don't think you got $1 million to spend. Don't go buy $1 million house, right? 400,000 is gone. So make sure you're accounting for that. But Chad, what would you advise them?
I mean, I talked to some of the young ones now, asked them what to do, and you mentioned financial advisor. I'm kind of weary about that. You know, obviously, because some of the situations and the stuff that I heard, you know, you had your problem with your dude.
They had their philosophies.
Yeah.
Right.
Other friends of mine that played during our era also had problems with financial advisors. I would tell most of them to talk to someone that they know that has had money and has had handled large amounts of money before and go that route. You know, no disrespect to anybody that is a financial advisor, but I'd like to talk to those that have handled money of large amounts before and how they were able to operate with it.
Give me your money. I know what to do with it. Huh?
That's the problem.
Not for me and just them.
But I know what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying. I know how to handle large amounts of money. So
Listen.
Give me 4 M's and I'll make it do what it
does. There you go.
You'll make it 8.
Y'all holler at Brandon Marshall. He knows what to do.
No, I'm talking to you.
it ain't. You want mine?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got. I know you got.
It's all put up. Nest egg. It's all going. It's all there.
Nest egg.
Nah.
This is what I do. This is how I answer that, Fred.
Before you get started, what would you recommend about their 401ks?
Because
that was an issue for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
They didn't want to put money in a 401k.
Put everything you can. And now I think it's like guaranteed. But, you know, some guys like, oh, I don't want to put all into my 401k. Max it out.
Explain to what it is for the people at home that might not know.
Yeah.
The match. So if I'm getting $10,000,
the NFL,
if my minimum or my max to put in is 10 grand,
the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to put in 20.
The Jags are going to put in 20,000. And then at one point it was 25,000.
That's right.
That's free money.
Yeah,
free money. But you have a lot of guys that didn't want to put that money in.
Me and some guys, well, I ain't trying to put the 20 in right now.
Right.
What? Put the 20 in. Think about 10, 20 years from now. So that's what I would say there. Family is going to be a big challenge for everybody. So have a game plan there. You know, sit down with your family before you even play one snap and say, this is the game plan. You know, with your financial advisor. This is how we're going to rock for my career. Okay. That's number one. Number two, educate. Educate yourself, educate your family. And it's not just yourself, right? It's not like you said, it's like, you know, we're learning, we're growing, but the biggest struggle is the people around us. So you got to make sure that they're learning too. Mom, let's sit down with Rich France, my financial advisor, the same lessons that I'm getting, I want you to get. So we're on the same page. Ain't no miscommunication. The last thing I would say to the young guys is mental health. Like, that's critical. Take care of your mental.
Your chicken.
Take care of your chicken.
Mental health, like, that's a big thing, man, because, you know, one minute we could be hanging from the rafters after scoring a game winning touchdown, making a big play, big hit, separating the receiver from the ball to make the game winning play, winning the Super Bowl, and the next minute you can be dealing with stress, you can be dealing with anxiety, you can be dealing with depression. That's big. You saw it with Dak. Came out what he dealt with, but that's a big deal. So those are the three things I would say, Fred.
Really, I think those are all important messages. I think when you have guys in prominent positions, guys such as LeBron James, guys in our league, you know, that were the big faces of our league, you know, they should also create funds or opportunities for younger guys who believe and will follow them to say, all right, let's turn this thing to generational status.
Yeah.
So we can fix the mistakes that people before us made. Let's create a pool, a fund, much like what the people on Wall Street does, what the big hedge fund managers do. And that money, you know, at 5% on a $1 billion, this is money that they can eat off forever and their kids can eat off forever. So I think all your messages were brilliant. Our mistakes will be, you know, an opportunity for them to succeed. And I'm okay with that because my goal in life is to share my message. And you shared your message tonight.
Yeah.
And everybody else did,
you know,
too.
Yeah, you know, but Fred, I want to tell you that what you're talking about is hard money loans. And this is something, too.
Not necessarily hard money loans.
But that's what it is, Fred. If you get a bunch of money together and try to make money off of that, you have hard money and you're trying to invest it in something to make more than 5% because if you're leaving the market and make 5%. Fred, I think that is something that the NBA players had on the back of their jerseys. I want to say Andre Iguodala had group economics.
Group economics, right.
With the black culture, we don't trust people.
There's a reason why.
Fred, I do hard money loans now. I try to reach out to teammates and friends and say, hey, bro, let's get $500,000 together and we can invest in this hotel. We'll make 18%. For the next 10 years on a hotel, we can sell it and get our money back and continue to make money. And dude be like, bro, I ain't giving you $100,000. I'd be like, bro, I'm putting my money in there too. Like, I got $100,000. We get five guys to put $100,000. We got $600,000, bro. We can buy a hotel.
When you've been deprived of resources and finances, you can't see past from me to you.
Yes. Every
other nationality, they're thinking 20-year, 30-year because they got time. Black people ain't never had shit.
Fred.
So they can't trust. It's the crab in the barrel mentality.
Yes.
And that's what has been conditioned to us.
And
it's unfortunate.
That's true, bro.
I see it all the time. You know, I'm always down to pull money and put money with people.
Yeah.
You know, at some point it has hurt me. At some point I've won. But at the end of the day, it's been a balance. God gonna find a way to make sure I'm good. And that's always been my faith. I'm gonna always have my season where I'm gonna eat. I'm gonna always have my season where I'm gonna learn. And then during that season when I'm learning, I'm helping teach everybody else because they looking up to me. They figure that I got this shit smooth and I got it made. That ain't the case. I struggle. I have ups. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm gonna be transparent. I'm gonna put it out there. I'm gonna tell you off top. You can run with me, but I don't know how this is gonna be. But we gonna take a shot, and I'm gonna take my shots. But I'm going to have some in the background. I'm going to have a pillow back there just in case I fuck that up, too. You know what I'm saying?
That's the next thing. But quickly, just a point, and I don't know how y'all feel about this, but let me know. Chicago, New York, all them big cities, Vegas and L.A., they have a Chinatown. They have a Russian spot. Miami, Boca's where the Jewish people live. Think about all the Chinatowns around the thing and the Jewish people spot where everybody know and the Russians live and the Venezuelans live. Where black people live is just called the hood.
Correct.
Do y'all ever thought about that?
Right.
Where Chinatown, where if there's people from China that come to the U.S. that immigrate here, they get together in Chinatown and make money together. Where black people live is always called the hood. They don't say African American town.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And that is a ideology problem that African Americans have in this country.
But if you put it on a bigger scale, when everybody went and stripped Africa of its resources, they stripped the black people of their culture, which is the same resources at the very end of the day. We have to depend, we're dependent upon everybody else. The biggest recipients of hair products are black people.
Yeah.
Who's selling the hair product?
Not black people.
The Asian people, that's their culture. You have to go into, not necessarily their community, because they're not afraid to put those shops in a black community. Black people are going to think twice before they run up in that store to rob them. But if you was a black person and that was your store, they plotting on you from the gate. Because they feel like you ain't going to give them nothing. If they're not plotting to rob you, they plotting to get 30, 40% off. You going to hook me up today? If you don't hook them up, you're looked upon as a fucked up business person. At the end of, that's just our mindset is crazy.
Got to change
We got to reset that way of thinking. It's so deep. But when you got 400 years of torture, of abuse, of manipulation, of this is the way you should think, PTSD, I keep saying it over and over again. Slavery was a reprogramming of our people to where we're still f***ed up today, where we fight against each other more than we fight against anybody else. Until we reprogram that, we're going to always have that same fight. And that's going to always be the issue in our plight to try and get respect.
And I think to bring this back around, though, to how we started the conversation is guys at us that had a God-given ability to catch the ball, run route. Well, you ain't run no route. You just big, bro. Everybody knows.
Bro, I ain't run route.
but seriously, though, guys that do get that money and do have that money that have the mindset that we're talking about, it's tough for us to be the center of change. Like, bro, all I did was hit people. Like, I hit people in high school and got a scholarship. I hit people in college and got to the NFL. Hit people and got millions. Hit people, kept getting millions. That doesn't teach me how to change the group economics of the African-American community.
But you know now, you have an opportunity to go back in the hood, your hood or somebody else's hood.
But Fred, I tell you, I've reached out to dudes and tried to do a hotel and dudes be like, Crowder,
no, I'm talking about,
I ain't giving you no goddamn money.
I'm talking about the hood. I'm talking about the kids.
Go down to the lower,
the inner city. Yeah, because the old guys, they've had the opportunity.
Yeah.
You can't teach them new tricks, bro. You got to start with the kids and pray and hope that somebody listens. You're going to have a few other that want to do another lifestyle. Yeah. They're going to want to be a D-boy. They're going to want to do something else.
But even
not to knock that, because a couple of D-boys looked out for me and tried to put me on track. Now, here's a couple dollars. Stay out the way. Something bigger going to happen for you. And I respect them, and I love them to this day. Whatever it might be, you got to try. And the hood got to try. You know what I'm saying? That mentality got to go, though.
Hey, on that money topic, you know what we didn't tell those dudes to do, man? Enjoy yourself. You got to enjoy yourself. You work so hard to get to that point, man, and we don't know everybody's backstory.
Right.
But once you get there, man, that's a joy. You got to be able to enjoy your fruits of labor, but do everything in moderation.
In moderation,
You do it in moderation,
that's the key.
You're going to be all right. Had the right people, you know, on your team, you got to enjoy yourself, man.
That's the key.
Just think about your backstory on what you went through just to get to the league. And once you get there, then you got us telling you what to do with your money.
Yeah.
But you just got to enjoy yourself. But just do it in moderation, man. Because 78% of us go broke?
Some funny numbers, but
yeah,
basically.
Funny numbers.
But that's good. That was the end right there. Do it in moderation.
Man, that was good.
That was good. Yeah, we went in on that. That's one of those serious conversations. I didn't think it was going to go that way, but that was good.
That was a good one. Hey, how much time costs?
Free.
Free.
Hey, you preach, boy. That was good.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we can wheel straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.